The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us, we eat and are satisfied. Fill us with this world and all its need, with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. Then when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks to you, O Christ.
The psalm is in your bulletin. So it's Psalm 78, verses 23 through 29. "Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven.
He rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven.
Mortals ate of the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance.
He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by power he let out the soft wind.
He rained flesh upon them like dust, winged birds like sand of the seas.
He let them fall within their camp, all around their dwellings.
And they ate and were well filled, for he gave them what they craved." The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, 'When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people.' When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, for we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in the building up, building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you're able to sing the gospel verse, which is on page 8 in your worship booklet. Page 8.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Gospel from John, chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A friend of mine asked, Why would a person claim to be a Christian? In truth, there are probably as many answers to that question as there are people who have attempted to answer it. Some of us are Christian because of a yearning to spend eternity with God. Others of us are Christians because we believe it'll make us better people. Others say it will make them more successful or wealthy. Others say they'll believe out of fear because if they don't, they'll spend an eternity in punishment for their sins. Each of these answers can be substantiated from quoting the Bible. In fact, just about anything can be substantiated by quoting from the Bible if one reads cleverly enough. But in this gospel lesson, Jesus provides a different sort of answer to the question, why would a person claim to be a Christian? Jesus begins by noting the motivation of those who are in Capernaum looking for him. Jesus has just fed some 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And there's 12 baskets of food left over. Then Jesus and the disciples make their way across the sea again. The crowd had just been fed. They travel ahead to the other side of the shore looking for Jesus. They're still struggling to figure out what this miracle meant. When Jesus saw the crowd, he challenged them. You've not come here because you've discovered who I am. You're here because you hope to get for yourselves another meal. Is that why a person would claim to be a Christian? Because of what they can get out of it? Is there more to following Jesus than another meal? That can be a challenging question. I've had some great meals at this church, and yesterday was no exception. But seriously, good, faithful people struggle with whether giving food or other types of assistance to people in need is helping them or enabling them to be dependent. Is there more to following Jesus than giving another meal or helping with the rent. Years ago, a colleague shared with me that struggle and acknowledged that at some point, others had taken advantage of his generosity, his acts of kindness, his willingness to assist others in their time of need. He said that he figured that if he didn't get taken from time to time, that is, err on the side of grace, that he probably wasn't being faithful, noting that Jesus never required people to validify their need before he helped them. Meeting the needs of others is a part of our calling. I'm reminded of the theologian who shared, "Don't bother telling me about Jesus if you're not willing to be my friend, if you're not willing to enter my world." Our witness does need to be authentic, and not just a handout that doesn't point to who the bread of life is. I think Jesus wants the crowd at Capernaum to know this. They were amazed and filled by the banquet that Jesus provided for them. The people then asked for a sign like Moses did by providing the ancient Israelites with manna, which is kind of interesting because he just did a miracle of feeding 5,000 people. Yet the people were drawn to the past, to God's deliverance from slavery, to their time with Moses in the wilderness. The people thought that Moses was the one who had given their ancestors food in the wilderness, when in fact it was God who provided the manna and the quail. They weren't able to see that God was doing something astonishingly new right there in front of them. The miracle wasn't just about having a belly full of food. It was meant to point them to see who Jesus is. This conversation is about bread, but then it isn't. Bread is the metaphor. Yes, they're fed by the miracle of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. They filled their stomachs, but Jesus wants them to see that he is the one who's capable of truly sustaining life. The food that can last all time is the bread of life, and that's Jesus. Jesus himself is the gift from God that gives life. In the same way, the Samaritan woman at the well thought that Jesus had been speaking to her about water and thirst. So too the crowds respond to Jesus as though he has simply been offering physical bread that will forever fill their stomachs. The people associated Jesus with Moses rather than Jesus with the bread of life. Perhaps it sounded too good to be true. It's an audacious claim, really, that Jesus is the bread of life, which gives life to the world. So the people responded, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The people were skeptical, and who wouldn't be? It's almost more than what one could hope for. But it's not beyond the hope that we have in Jesus. For in Jesus, God always surprises us. God always seems to do the unexpected through Jesus. Instead of pronouncing judgment in the face of our sin and selfishness, God offers mercy instead of justice, love instead of condemnation, forgiveness instead of retribution. And then God chose to reveal God's self through common earthly elements like water and bread and wine. Yet that is the hope that we proclaim, that the pre-existent Word of God that was with God in the beginning, who participated in the creation of the heavens and the earth, is the bread of life. The same Lord who cares so desperately for us, that he gave his life for us on the cross, and continues to give himself for us in the bread and the wine. David Loos shares, I quote, "Perhaps this in the end is the hardest thing for all of us to accept about the sacraments, that they contain God's unexpected, surprising, unforeseen gift of God's self. Against this gift, against this surprising and disarming love, we are helpless. At this table, God promises to us again, just as it did when helpless babes were brought to the font, 'This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you.' At baptism, we pour water over an infant's head and announce to her God's promise to be with her forever, to go with her wherever she may go, to hold on to her through all life has to offer, including death, and to grant her eternal life. That's some promise. And exactly the same thing happens in the Lord's Supper. For each time you come to the table, you're promised nothing less than forgiveness, acceptance, wholeness, in a word, life, both now and forever. Unquote. Life, that is what it's all about, isn't it? Life, both now and forever. In order for life to flourish, you need nourishment. You need to eat. I wonder, where do you get nourishment in your faith? Is it through your daily devotions, scripture readings, singing hymns, listening to music, receiving Holy Communion, coming to church, to Bible study, experiencing the fellowship of believers? Certainly those are the marks of the Christian faith, ways that we are fed, ways that we are nourished. The Apostle Paul, in today's second reading, wrote, "I therefore beg you to lead a calling worthy of the life to which you have been called." Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The calling we have received is built on the fact that God has chosen you. In fact, Paul says God chose you before the foundations of the world. That's a hard one for me to wrap my head around. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Built on that foundation, no wonder Paul can beg us to lead a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called. But back to the question of the day. Why would a person claim to be a Christian? Because a Christian is first claimed by God. Everything after that is an adventure. The crowd in Capernaum was amazed, filled by the banquet that Jesus provided for them in the wilderness. Many of them, no doubt, would be happy to call themselves Christian if it means a life full of meals like that one. But Jesus has a different understanding of what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple, a follower, a Christian. It means to receive the bread of God that's come down from heaven and gives life to the world. What is the bread of God? The obvious answer, of course, is that Jesus is the bread, metaphorically and in his physical body. Jesus has come to reveal the kingdom of God to these hungry people, to you and I. They will see that the kingdom of God is revealed through his sacrifice, his compassion, his commitment to justice, his gracious embrace of all people, even those we might be reluctant to embrace. The kingdom of God looks and feels like the concerns and values that Jesus had for those whom he encountered. Jesus is the bread of life from heaven, and you and I are called, invited, to reflect his sacrificial generosity, his loving compassion, his fierce commitment to justice, his amazing grace. Why would a person claim to be a Christian? Very simply, because a life that loves God more than anything else and is as concerned about our neighbors as ourselves, that's the life we were created to live. In the end, it's the only kind of living that makes sense for those who were chosen before the foundations of the world, because that kind of living brings honor to God and life to the world that God so desperately loves. May God give us the will and the strength to live that kind of life. Amen. Our hymn of the day is number 444.
Come give to us, O Savior.